It's here and now. We already know the story of the cargo ship Maersk Alabama, captured by a handful of Somali pirates who kidnapped the captain. He wrote a memoir about his brutal 5 days in a tiny enclosed lifeboat and the Navy SEALs who eventually freed him. We know that ending. So why is the new film, directed by Paul Greengrass and starring Tom Hanks as Captain Phillips, so suspenseful?
Four pirates on board. Four pirates coming towards us down the main deck.
Lock down the bridge.
Yeah.
Listen up. We have been boarded by four armed pirates. You know the drill.
We stay hidden no matter what. I don't want any hostages.
It is stomach-churning for the audience. It's hard to imagine what it's like for the real Captain Phillips. So let's ask him. Captain Richard Phillips joins us from his home state, Vermont Public Radio. Captain Phillips, welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
As I hear you speak, I have to say the one thing on a much lighter note that people are pointing out is that Tom Hanks sounds more like John F. Kennedy portraying you. Let's start with the accent. What did you think of the accent?
Well, seeing as I don't have an accent, so I don't know how he could emulate it, so I don't understand that too well. I thought he did a fair job.
Well, okay. You met with Tom Hanks twice. What did you want to tell him? What did he want to know from you?
I told him if he wasn't going to play me, he'd have to put on a little weight and get a little better looking. And he did neither, so he didn't do anything I told him to. But he was more interested, not in the story. And he came out and said that I'm not really interested in the story. I've read the book. He has a screenplay. But he was interested about the transition, about family life and then work life, routines of both on the ship and also at home. Certain things he would ask me, would this ever happen? Would you ever say this? Yeah, I think he was just trying to get a gist of me.
It's interesting because that is what you pick up immediately, that this was a guy from Vermont, you know, coming to this very different world. And then, of course, that world is completely upended. Let's play a little more of the scene we just heard a little bit of.
If the pirates find you, remember, you know the ship. They don't. Make them feel like they're in charge, but keep them away from the important things like the generator and the engine controls. Stick together, and we'll be all right. Good luck.
Richard, we see a man there who is firm and in charge, but also pretty scared. Describe how that felt.
It was a very scary time as they got closer and closer, and as we turned on our fire hoses and started shooting flares and mustard and getting ready to get in a safe room. And then when they started shooting, that escalated it up. And, of course, we were all fearful. And then when they were indeed successful for getting that ladder and getting the first pirate aboard, it was a start of a 12-hour slippery slope on the ship of stress, cat and mouse, and really hide-and-seek. Some of the things I see is in Tom Hanks's eyes, you can see definitely fear, and there was fear there, but it was also a sense of he had lost almost all control, and the only control he did have was the operation of the ship and the procedures that we had. That's the only control that we had.
Well, for people who didn't follow the story very closely, it came across in the headlines in 2009 as ship attacked by pirates who put captain in lifeboat, he's there for 5 days, and then SEALs come, it's over. What we really see here is how long, 12 hours, you just said, of this cat and mouse game, running around the ship trying to hide, you know, trying to come up with tricks. 12 hours, that's a long time.
Yeah, it was very intense, and I think the movie captures that. It was very, very stressful. I didn't know at any corner that we'd run into a crew or something would happen.
Because they were hiding.
Because they were hiding, and I hoped that they stayed in hiding because that was the only power we had. The crew did a great job. They were instrumental in a positive outcome for myself and them, and they actually took the leader hostage later during this time, and that was a big part of getting them off.
You mentioned the crew. I just have to – let's take a second and address this. You just spoke highly of how the crew handled this, and that it feels that way in the film.
Yeah.
But there's also a little bit of stress. You're the boss. You're the one who has to kick them off the coffee breaks. and as you well know, there is a lawsuit that 9 members of the crew have filed against the shipping company. You're not named in it, but they say that you put the crew in jeopardy by sailing into dangerous waters, that there was a warning to stay 600 miles out and that you were too close.
You know, in the Merchant Marine, we fight piracy everywhere. It's not just in Somalia. We fight piracy today in Vietnam, Philippines, Malacca Straits, Indonesia, Java, West East Coast of Africa, West East Coast of South America. It's a known quantity. If you don't want to fight piracy or deal with piracy, then you really don't want to go to sea. And the other thing was, in that area of the world, we were never outside the area. Ships had already been taken out over 1,250 miles, even before my incident.
So you're clear that you don't feel you put them in jeopardy by the
course? No, we were in jeopardy indeed. Any ship that sails today in any parts of the world is in jeopardy of piracy and better be ready. That was the farthest I had ever sailed off of Somalia.
How would you characterize your relationship with the pirates? Because in the film, it feels as if there's some moments where you empathize with these. They're just life's losers. But on the other hand, you said you never for a moment were empathetic with them because you felt that would be dangerous for you.
I felt that would be. We were always on an adversarial relationship. I mean, we would communicate. There was actually a couple times there was a chuckle or two. But at no time they made it patently clear and I made it clear that we were on different teams. We were adversaries. When you have a guy across the seat from you within 4 or 5 foot of you with a gun and he likes to just pull the trigger and smile at you, that was the young pirate with what I call the wild Charlie Manson eyes. There's not too many ways that you can think this guy is your friend and you can align with him.
How did you survive those 5 days? The claustrophobia from the screen was enough to make a lot of people in the audience they couldn't handle it. You were in there.
It was very tight in there, living and doing all the things that we do during our lives inside that boat for 4.5 days with four pirates with three weapons, and it's very close. I don't think it can really portray how close and hot it truly was. And they were tough and committed. They were not going to give up, and their concern for me, again, was nothing.
Does it bother you that at least one or two of the pirates is fleshed out as a character? Barkhad Abdi, amazing actor, plays the lead pirate. And in the film, they do become a little bit humanized. Does that bother you?
No, it's a movie. I mean, they were human, right or wrong decision aside. At any time, they could have given up. I had told them in the lifeboat, you know, that they could give me up, and they'd let you have the lifeboat, and they'd let you go, you know. But I told them that they were never going to get any money. And, you know, if they keep like this, we're all going to die in this boat.
Yeah. So, Captain Phillips, how are you doing? Because at the end of the film, Tom Hanks, in what seems like just a remarkable performance with what seems like a real naval medical officer, completely breaks down.
It was a real medic, actually, in the movie.
Yeah, looked like it.
And I did cry. It was later. It was actually the second day I was back on the Bainbridge. And I'd wake up and I'd be out of a sound sleep. I'd wake up and be bawling like a little baby. And actually, one of the SEALs saw something in me. And I actually talked to one of their psychiatrists. He says, well, don't tamp it down. Don't try and stop it. Let it flow. And he explained it in a very empirical way. You know, it's just hormones. It's chemicals that's coursing through your body that your body organs put out. It's pretty much fight or flight, life or death situation. And you got to release these things, and crying is one of them. Yeah. So the next morning I woke up, of course, out of a sound sleep, bawling and crying like a little baby. And I just let it go. I cried for about 40 minutes, and then it just stopped on its own. And it never came back again.
Yeah. Well, and after that experience that you had at sea, you're back at sea.
Yeah, I went back, I believe, about 14 months later. I think it was June 2010. I've been sailing in the MMP, the International Order of Master Mates and Pilots, for 34 years now. So that is my normal. Piracy is part of it. I also have to deal with fires and emergency medical situations, storms, catastrophes, oil spills, collisions. It's just part of the challenging job of going to sea.
That's Captain Phillips. The real-life captain who's captured by Somali pirates is the story told in the film Captain Phillips. Richard Phillips, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Great to speak with you.
And Captain Phillips' memoir is A Captain's Duty, Somali Pirates, Navy SEALs, and Dangerous Days at Sea. The film is out Friday. It's terrific. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston. With a new performance season, Miranda July, Carol Armitage, and Bill T. Jones. More at icaboston.org.